Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this last day and last Sabbath day in January 2026. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording or here in our live church service. I'm glad to be in fellowship with you once again. Many of you may be aware that our main ministry computer was hacked into this past week and a half. And the computer is now down. It is not working at all. And so that means having to find another computer and having to back up or put the backup program into it and getting that all working again. It is definitely going to be a process. And it is going to be time consuming. But we'll continue with the church services. And thank you for your prayers. I've been putting off having to get a new computer because it has Windows 11 in it, and Windows 11 is, it has some problems. But that may be something I'm going to be forced to do. Anyways, thank you for your prayers. And again, it will not affect the church services here unless the computer for the home church has been hacked into as well, which I don't think it is or has been. So praise God for that. It's just the one, but it's the main one. appreciate your concern, your thoughts and prayers in that direction. And praise God for his merciful kindness. It was only the one computer, and that is a blessing. In the meantime, I have not been able to access the files that we use for the different study books that we're going in to change it to the next section. Hopefully I can work on that this week, but since there's a disruption in our normal operating procedures, I'm going to postpone having a new volunteer for Friday services and Youth and Adult Sabbath School on the second Sabbath in February. I'm going to postpone that, and we'll resume that back in March. The second Friday and Sabbath in March, we'll resume having volunteers for those services. So thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your prayers. And praise God for his overruling providence. God is indeed good. So I'll keep you informed on how God leads in what computer is obtained or repaired when I know more. So that's the one announcement, other than keeping our dear brothers and sisters that are in that cold snap in your thoughts and prayers. It is a very severe weather. Our opening song for today's service is Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest, of creation's week the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 Glad we hail its presence bless, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First his 6 days' work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thousands have his plan reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appears, through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 glad we hail its presence blessed. This the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I searched, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest. Amen. If only more people would choose to follow the truth that's opened up to their understanding instead of arguing with it, we'd go home a lot sooner. Christ would be able to come a lot quicker. And this great controversy could wrap up much faster. Praise God for opening our understanding, opening the scripture, and allowing the Spirit to bring conviction and conversion to hearts. There's really only one thing to do when God's truth reaches you, and that is to follow it in His grace. So we're going to find out more about God's holy Sabbath day in our sermon. But first, let's have opening prayer. And please join with me. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy great love. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but for sending your Spirit as well as your messengers of truth to open our eyes, to get us to see things from a different perspective, from your perspective. And thank you also for the divine miracle of understanding, of being able to see the truth. And for the divine miracle of grace to have the divine power to follow the truth. Father, I pray that your law may be written in our heart and mind, written permanently there, not temporary. And for this, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do just that. And Spirit, please take control of our heart, plant Jesus on the throne, and help us to comprehend all that is involved in the truth as it is in Jesus. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the conviction. Thank you for the reproof and correction, so that we might be children of the Most High, following our Savior whithersoever he leads us, and may set aside, leave behind everything that goes contrary to a thus saith the Lord or an it is written. Father, we ask that your presence continue to be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well. We also ask for the heavenly angels to be abiding guests, and that all darkness, all error, all preconceived ideas and opinions that go contrary to your will become as chaff to be blown away, leaving only the precious seed of truth behind. And Spirit, we plead with thee to be our teacher, our guide, our instructor in righteousness and truth. We ask for help to comprehend the way in which God would have us follow him, not how we would want to follow, not how others would want us to follow, but how God would have us follow. Jesus is our leader. We want to follow him. Help us to recognize the pathway. Help us with encouragement and with power to follow our Savior. And to indeed be on that straight, narrow, upward path of righteousness that ends in eternal life. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for taking away all the barriers that prevent us from moving forward. And we also ask that all distractions, that everything the devil may try to get us to deal with instead of to pay attention to the truths that will be shared, we ask that we may have an undivided attention and the ability to comprehend. And we also ask for divine help to remember, so that we don't so easily forget. Please prevent the devil from snatching away the seed of truth and covering it up with another issue. We want to know the will of our God. We don't want to guess at it. Thank you for your help. And thank you for your instruction today. Father, I pray that you'll also be with those that are suffering, whether from weather or catastrophes or grieving or sorrow, that are going through trials of varied intensities. We pray that you will draw close, that you will aid, that you will help, and especially, dear Savior, that you will deliver, all according to thy perfect will and timing. So we thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. And thank you for helping us to grow in knowledge more today than yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that God has chosen a special day of the week to be his Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week, beginning at sundown Friday evening and ending at sundown Sabbath or Saturday evening. So we know that God has chosen a special day for him to be worshiped on by his people. But do we know how to keep this special Sabbath day holy? We know God requires his people to keep it holy. Do we know how to keep it holy? So that's what we're going to be investigating into today. How to observe God's chosen Sabbath day. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID343.htm. So lightministries.com/ID343.htm. So how does God want us to observe this holy Sabbath day that he's chosen? Well, let's go to the very beginning when the Sabbath began. You look at quote number one from Genesis 2 verses 2 to 3. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now the Hebrew word for rested in this text is Shabbath. And this word translates and means to repose, to desist from exertion, to cause or let or make to cease or to fail, to celebrate, to keep Sabbath, to suffer, to be lacking, to leave, to put away or put down, to make to rest, still, take away. That's Strong's exhaustive Hebrew word, exhaustive concordance, Hebrew word number 7673. So all of these meanings that are connected with the word rested, that itself means Shabbath, it reveals that God created the Sabbath to be a day in which you desist from any physical exertion, that you cease, you leave, put away, or put down any work or project that you're involved in, even if doing so causes it to be lacking or to fail until after the Sabbath is over. In this way, you can indeed rest, keep, and even celebrate the Sabbath. So that's what the Hebrew word rested means. Quite a bit more complex than people may have thought. Now, God himself rested on the seventh day. But since God never grows tired or weary, as we're told in Isaiah 40 verse 28, then exactly what was God resting from? He was resting from his work of creation. So creation was God's main work. It was also his job description He's the creator, right? So on the Sabbath, God desisted from doing any work, and he ceased from creating anything so that he could rest and repose over the entire seventh day Sabbath, which we know begins at sunset Friday and then ends at sunset Saturday. But this was not the only thing God ceased from doing on the Sabbath. In addition to his main work of creation, God also took the time to plant a garden in the eastern part of Eden, which is Genesis 2 verse 8. He put into this special garden all kinds of lovely plants, flowers, trees, not because it was part of his job, but because he enjoyed planting these lovely things for Adam and Eve to enjoy. So not only did God cease from his main job and work of creation over the Sabbath day, but he also ceased from doing any kind of gardening, his own side pleasure or hobby, if you will, on the Sabbath. So it wasn't just his main occupation that God ceased to do on the Sabbath. He also ceased to do his own pleasure or hobby on the Sabbath. Now, if you look at quote number two, in addition to resting on the Sabbath, God blessed and sanctified it. The Hebrew word for blessed is barak, and it translates and means to kneel, to bless God in adoration, to bless man as a benefit, to praise, to thank. That's a Strong's Hebrew word number 1288. And the Hebrew word for sanctified is kadosh. And this word translates and means to make, to be, to pronounce clean, to consecrate, to dedicate, to hallow, to keep holy, to proclaim, to purify, to sanctify. That's Strong's word number 6942. So putting these meanings together, we can understand that not only are we to cease from working over the hours of the seventh day Sabbath, but God blessed this day as a benefit to mankind, and he dedicated this day for us to also keep it clean, consecrated, hallowed, holy, and purified. If you look at quote number three. After God had put Adam and Eve into this beautiful garden, he then gave them both something to do in the garden. In Genesis 2:15, we're told, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Hebrew word for dress is abad. And this word translates and means to work, to till, to dress, to labor, to do service. That's Strong's word number 5647. And the Hebrew word for keep is shamar, which translates and means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, attend to preserve. And that's Strong's word number 8104. So this reveals to us that Adam and Eve were not just put into the garden to enjoy it, but they were also to be its guardians, its caretakers. And that was their main work. And their job description was the gardeners, right? But on the Sabbath day, they ceased from their main job and did not do any gardening work at all so that they could rest and repose over the entire seventh day Sabbath and indeed keep it holy just like God did. So then, what did both God and Adam and Eve do while they were resting, while they were keeping the Sabbath holy? If you look at quote number 4. The Bible reveals that God spent time walking in this garden which he had planted. You can find that in Genesis 3 verse 8. God spent time enjoying his handiwork, communing with nature, and taking pleasure in all that he had created the past week. And especially did God spend time with Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve were also enjoying walking in the garden, talking with God and Christ and the angels, communing with nature, and taking pleasure in all the beautiful things around them, and especially expressing their gratefulness and praise to God for all the wonderful blessings that he had given them. So God was spending the Sabbath communing with and enjoying his creation, especially Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were likewise spending the Sabbath in communion with and in praise to God and all that he had created. So then what example do we see revealed on this first Sabbath day in how it was kept holy? God ceased from his main work of creation. He rested from doing his own pleasure of planting, and then spent time enjoying nature and in fellowship with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve also ceased from their main work of gardening, rested from caretaking, and then spent the Sabbath hours enjoying nature and in fellowship with each other and with God. Now, this perfect example of how to rest and to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy was before sin had entered into the world. So then, did sin change the way in which God's chosen day of worship was to be kept holy? Did that alter it in some way? If you look at quote number 5. We're told in Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 to 21. In the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, in these verses, we see that the main work given to each of the children of Israel in the wilderness was for them to gather enough manna each day for their daily food requirements as a family. So this reveals that God provided them with enough food each day to live on, but they had to do the work in gathering it or they would go hungry. But there's more. If you look at quote number 6. from Exodus 16, verses 22 to 26. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, or the day before the Sabbath, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers in the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seal or seethe or boil that which will ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Now these verses reveal to us that on the day before the Sabbath, which is called the sixth day, they were to prepare for the coming Sabbath. And in order to help them get prepared, God would put twice the amount of manna as usual in the wilderness, and the children of Israel were instructed to gather twice as much manna as they normally did, and then to prepare this extra portion of manna by baking or boiling it, or even just leaving it raw to eat for their Sabbath meal. And this further shows us that there was nothing wrong with eating pre-cooked food over the Sabbath hours, even though some chose to eat their food raw over the Sabbath hours. But any cooked food had to be prepared the day before the Sabbath. So cooked food or raw food over the Sabbath hours, both were permitted by God. Now, by God giving this extra amount of manna, there would be no need for any of the children of Israel to work over the Sabbath in order to gather their food. And by preparing this extra food on the sixth day for the next day's meal, there would be no need to bake or boil any raw manna on the Sabbath day. So this meant that on the whole Sabbath day, the Israelites could rest from their daily work, as well as to rest from cooking. And they could then spend these extra hours doing something else. So God gave them this extra food, gave them the energy to gather and to prepare it, so that his people could rest from all their weekly labor. They could keep the Sabbath holy, and spend that time in fellowship and communion with God, with each other, and with nature. Now, in having to gather twice as much manna and to cook and prepare twice as much food meant that this preparation day for the Sabbath involved working harder than usual in order to be able to rest on the Sabbath. But that just made the Sabbath much more delightful to enter into, as there was no work to be done, and they could truly rest from all their labors. But not all the Israelites kept God's Sabbath day holy, even though his instruction was very clear. If you look at quote number 7 from Exodus 16, verses 27 to 30. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, for to gather, and they found none, no manna. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now these verses reveal to us that when the seventh day Sabbath arrived, some of the Israelites went about doing their same weekly work of gathering manna, but they didn't find any manna together. Now, it is possible that this Sabbath-breaking work was not done intentionally, as they may have just followed their daily routine and absent-mindedly broke God's Sabbath day. But these verses do reveal that since God did not miraculously provide these individuals with manna just because they went out to find it, then God meant what he said and would not aid or encourage any to break his holy day, even though they were ignorant of doing wrong. They were absent-minded or they just forgot. And to help his people not to repeat their absent-mindedness, God commanded them to all remain in their tents, and thus there would be no way for any to unwillingly or unwittingly repeat the same mistake. And any who would now work on the Sabbath would have to intentionally decide to do so. Now, if you look at quote number 8, these verses also reveal to us that before the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, the seventh day Sabbath was to be observed, and it was being observed and was still part of God's commandment law. So this reveals that God's Sabbath commandment had not been changed or altered after sin had entered into the world, but it remained intact and was still to be kept holy in the same way like it was before sin came in. And God then made sure that everybody recognized that the seventh day Sabbath of rest that was kept holy before sin was the very same Sabbath day of rest to be kept holy after sin. When the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, which was some time after they had been given manna, God, with his own voice and then with his own hand, gave this instruction as part of the Ten Commandments. It's recorded in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. These verses reveal that the seventh day Sabbath of creation before sin is the very same seventh day Sabbath after sin. It's the fourth commandment in the ten. It's the same Sabbath. So this plainly reveals that sin had not changed the way in which God's chosen Sabbath day was to be kept holy. So for more than 2,000 years, the Sabbath of creation before sin was exactly the same Sabbath after sin. It was to be kept holy in the same way. And God put it in the Ten Commandments, in the number four place, in the very, near the very center of the commandment, law. And he said, remember to keep it holy. That means it had not been altered. It had not been changed. It was the very same Sabbath of creation. But sin did cause God to add requirements in order to keep his people in the right way and to help them guard and protect the sacredness of the Sabbath. As we've seen, these additional requirements involved putting forth extra work on the sixth day or Friday in order to be fully prepared to rest and keep the Sabbath holy as God originally intended. Adam and Eve didn't have to gather manna. So because sin came in, God added additional requirements to help his people guard and protect the sacredness of the Sabbath. And one of these was to prepare on Friday, the sixth day, for what's going to occur as far as meals on Saturday, the seventh day. But are there other additional requirements that God gave to help his people safeguard the sacredness of the Sabbath? Did sin lead God to give additional rules to help keep the Sabbath holy by his people? And that's what we'll be investigating into next time. So praise God, we could see that the Sabbath of creation is still the same Sabbath today, that sin has not changed it in any way. It's still to be kept holy. It's still sanctified. It's still a day of rest. It's still a 24-hour period, evening and morning, right? And God still requires his people to keep it holy. But sin did cause additional requirements of God for his people to follow so that they keep it holy. And we'll find out more next time. Our closing song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. Remember, don't forget. Don't forget the Sabbath the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, his golden hour was spent in thankful hymns to Jesus, our children's dearest friend. O gentle loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. And you know, if we keep God's Sabbath day holy, as he asks us to, then he will dwell with us. He'll walk with us. He'll commune with us, just as he did with Adam and Eve. So if you want to have God dwelling in your midst, blessing your communion with him, then keep his Sabbath day holy, just as he did. And what a wonderful day of rest it is. It's amazing what science is discovering. Science has discovered that there is built into every cell in the human body a 7-day cycle. Not just a day cycle, circadian rhythm, right? A 7-day cycle, a septuarian, I forget what the term was, but a 7-day cycle. And so they wanted to determine if one particular day a week was of more benefit to the body, to every cell in the body, than another day of the week. So they started doing tests. And they discovered after their barrage of tests that there is one particular day of the week that the cellular mechanisms function best under. The cells become more rested, more rejuvenated on one particular day of the week more than the other six. And do you know which day of the week they discovered this beneficial rejuvenation to the cells in the body was? The 7th day of the week. They discovered that when individuals work 7 days a week, the cells are overworked. They're not rejuvenated. But when they rest, particularly on the 7th day of the week, the cells rejuvenated. They weren't made new, but they were brought back to a functioning on the best possible level for their particular design. So, yeah, I mean, here we have the 7-day cycle built in to the cellular functioning of every human being. So we can't possibly be an evolutionary mistake. We're a designed creation by the God of creation. And he built into our cellular functioning a 7th day Sabbath. Amen. Marvelous. So science is catching up with the truth. The issue is, will they admit it? But that's between them and the truth, between them and God. So don't forget the Sabbath. It has extreme importance, not just for your spiritual life, but for your physical life as well. And please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, praise your holy name for your love, for your blessings, for your creationary power, and for being here in our midst, for communing with us on thy holy Sabbath day. And thank you for the privilege and honor to commune with you, to walk with you, and to talk with you. We know at this point it's by faith. We know by faith that you're here, that you're communing with us, that you're blessing this gathering. But soon it will be by sight. When sin is eradicated from your universe and your redeemed are able to be with you physically, and what a wonderful Sabbath fellowship that's going to be. Father, I pray that you'll continue to send your Spirit to work upon our hearts, to help us to understand more in depth the importance of your Sabbath, how to keep it holy, how to be your children and receive the greatest benefit from fellowshipping with you. And not just spiritual benefit, but also physical benefit. Please forgive us for not understanding this before. Forgive us for doing anything that has broken the sacredness of your Sabbath by mistake. And I pray that you will help us to more fully understand and the grace to correct our mistakes so that we might be growing in a more full and deeper relationship with you. We thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, one day closer to going home and being with you throughout eternity. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared. Help our walk with our Savior and with thee to grow more closer, to be more established, to be that much more firm and cemented, because we love you and we thank you for first loving us. Help us indeed to be children of light, children of truth. Help us to be known as your commandment-keeping people, because we keep your Sabbath day holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So don't forget to keep the Sabbath holy. Dear ones, are there any questions, any thoughts, any comments, insights, testimonies, anything that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. I think one question that some may have is, because God told the children of Israel that they couldn't go outside their tents on the Sabbath. They had to stay indoors, basically. If that's a commandment for his people today to follow. I don't see that it is a commandment that is connected with the Sabbath commandment for his people to follow today. It was given for a specific purpose. The children of Israel were going to go out and gather manna, and because they didn't keep that issue in their minds, to not go out and gather manna on the seventh day. They did it anyways, so God then gave them an additional requirement to stay indoors. I think that was for time and place, because obviously when manna would no longer be gathered when they entered into the promised land, then that was no longer a commandment that they needed to follow, because there was no manna that was connected with that commandment. And since we're in the new covenant and the manna is Jesus, the spiritual manna is Jesus. Yeah, that's true. Christ didn't stay indoors on the Sabbath either. So very good point. Then we have that manna. We have Jesus with us at all times. So then there's no commandment today to stay indoors on the Sabbath. You can go outdoors. You can enjoy nature just like Adam and Eve and Christ did. You don't have to be within the structure or tent, as it were. Now, you can choose to be indoors. Like if it's bad weather outside, obviously you don't want to go out and endanger your health, but it's not a command to. I'll go ahead and put the, don't forget the Sabbath. Oh, the first song. The Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. Yeah, I'll put that back up. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, dear ones? Please feel free. Oh, praise the Lord. You're welcome, brother. Last thoughts before we bring the service to a close? Please go right ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I thought I had a question, but then it came to me by the grace of God that if Adam and Eve had a sap, you know, a Sabbath that they had to keep, but the Lord made everything in the week, and then at the end, for the reading, He came and walked through the garden with them, so that was their Sabbath, and they spoke together, and so that was so. I just wanted to comment that I got it by the Holy Spirit that they did keep the Sabbath.
Yeah, amen. Since God is the originator of the Sabbath, then He has the right to declare how to keep it holy. And we look at His example of how to keep the Sabbath holy. God didn't stay on His throne in heaven and let Adam and Eve keep it the way they wanted to. God actually came down and walked with them in the garden on the Sabbath. They communed together. So after sin came in, after Christ's death, here we are today. We can still have God in our midst, walking with Him, talking with Him, although it's not by sight now, it's by faith. But we do have His word. That's actually God talking to us. So when we come together on the Sabbath day, we still commune with God just like Adam and Eve does. But we commune with Him through His word or through prayer. So again, it's not by sight, it's by faith. But yet we know that God is here. We know that we're reading His word. We know that He's communing with us. So we're still keeping the same Sabbath day in the same way that he kept it back before sin. And we can also look at Christ's example of how he kept the Sabbath. He didn't isolate himself away in a cave or in a monastery, right? Or in some tabernacle. He went out and fellowshiped with the people, whether it was in the wilderness, whether it was by the pool of Siloam. He was meeting with the people. And it wasn't necessarily within a temple. Most of the time, Christ was outside on the Sabbath. So for those who believe you have to go to a church, a building, in order to keep the Sabbath holy, that's not entirely true. Because Christ didn't go to a temple every Sabbath. Sometimes he was outside in the wilderness on the Sabbath without going to a temple or a synagogue. Question says, is God responsible for all death, or is the devil solely responsible for people being killed? Most of the individuals that are murdered are the devil's fault. In fact, I would say all the people that are murdered are the devil's fault, because to murder means to premeditate before death occurs. Kill, on the other hand, can be done with justice. But not all killings are of justice. God was responsible for the killing, injustice, of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was responsible in justice for the killing of the antediluvian world. He's not responsible for the murdering of individuals, because he does not murder. That's what the sixth commandment forbids. Thou shalt not murder. That's what kill, the word kill there means. So God does at times injustice the end, the life of individuals, kill them, but he never murders. That's what the devil does. Well, praise the Lord. Any other questions or thoughts or comments, Derwin? I pray that you'll have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, those on the other side of the world, or those who the Sabbath has already ended for on this side of the world. Have a wonderful new and blessed week. And we look forward to being back in fellowship with you again soon. Until we meet again, dear ones, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your brother and sistership. Thank you for your love. And our love and big hugs are with each one of you as well. And until we meet again,
keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.